evening. Amen. I bless his name. The Lord sure is good. And I thank him for allowing us the time to be here with y'all again. Enjoyed it this morning. I hope you did, and I hope the Lord helped you. He helped me. And if I had to drive an hour and 40 minutes from Abbeville, South Carolina, to Pacolet, South Carolina, so the Lord could help me, then I'd just have to do it every day. If that's what it took, amen. If I had to drive from here to Atlanta, God forbid, amen, I'd have to do it if that's what it took. But you know what I'm thankful of? It don't take nothing like that. All it takes is somebody to say, Lord, help me. And I guarantee you, he'll help you. Amen. I bless his name. I want you to go with me to Psalms 96. Psalms 96 tonight. We'll find our text. Excuse me, I forgot a handkerchief, so I hope I don't drip sweat or there's an old one. But that's dangerous. That right there is worse than Christmas morning. You open up that handkerchief, you ain't got no idea what you're going to be looking at. Can I get an amen right there? Woo! Help us, Jesus. Amen. You think Christmas is exciting, opening up a present. You ain't never opened up your preacher's handkerchief. Hey? Ain't no telling what's in there, what color it will be. Amen. So sometimes it's just best to leave those sitting right back there, Brother Michael, and just get some fresh Kleenexes. Amen. Amen. You say you ain't got enough faith. Well, you must have not ever opened up one. Amen. That's all I can tell you. Amen. Psalm 96. Thank you, preacher, for having us. What an honor. And again, I thank the Lord for his presence being here this week. Go ahead. Go ahead before you forget.
Jared's got some CDs. Oh. He wouldn't mention them, but it'll bless. Is your sister's on them?
We had to put them on there.
It'll bless your heart. Get some CDs, give them gas money up the road, but it'll bless you tenfold, I promise. So see him after the service for that.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Amen. But thank you so much for the food this afternoon. Thank you for the good place to nap. Amen. And I've just enjoyed it. The good day. Psalm 96, if you're there, say amen. 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 If you're glad to be saved, say amen. Amen. Glad to be in the Lord's house on a Sunday night, say amen. Amen. I want to commend you tonight. Man, the ratio between this morning and tonight, if it's a great number, brother, I'm having a hard time seeing it. Amen. There ain't nothing that'll bless you as much as seeing a good return on Sunday night. Hey, time out. I forgot I was supposed to do something. No, I wasn't supposed to. He didn't tell me. And I would say this, if you want to just absolutely bless the socks off of your preacher, be here all week long. Come on, somebody. If you just want to absolutely just make him go home every night and his heart skipping with joy, hey man, you be here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Be here Tuesday, be here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 7. We'll be here about 6:50. But for church at 7 o'clock, amen, and be in your place. That's your spot, amen. Be in your place. If the choir's singing, amen, sing till your eyeballs pop out. If the other people singing and it's good, shout them on till you ain't got no more voice left to shout with. If the preacher's preaching, just holler at him, preach on, preacher. Even if it's stepping on your toes, just stick your foot out a little more. Maybe he might hit yours again on the way by. Somebody say amen. Amen. I say that to say this. It is encouraging for a preacher to preach to people. Amen. When I first started to preach, I didn't care who was there to listen to it, who heard it or not. I'd go preach it to pine trees. But then that got old because they wouldn't say amen. I thought they was getting offended at what I was saying. Then I realized that not much difference between pine trees and Baptist people. Amen. Amen. But if you'll be found in your place, it'll bless the man of God, your pastor. It'll bless those that are preaching to you throughout the week. Oh, but I got one a little bit better than the preacher. I got one a little bit better than the pastor. If you'll be in your place tomorrow, you're already 2 for 2 right now. You might as well go all the way 7 for 7. Amen. By Friday night, I guarantee you there'll be a God on his throne looking down saying, man, look at them. Every night the doors was open. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to answer one of their prayers. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless them. That's what I'm going to do. Amen. He'll give you something great every night that you come. I guarantee it. Amen. And I ain't even preaching, so I didn't have to say that, but I felt led to say that. Amen. Because I love seeing people get help. I love it. I do love it. I've had, your lifesaver just rolled to the altar. It's trying to get born again. It had an empty, that lifesaver had an empty spot, but once it hit the altar, it just turned into a peppermint. Amen. Just fully made whole. Woo! Amen. Man, there's so much liberty in this church. What you do around here, brother? You just pray all day, I reckon. Amen. There's so much liberty, it's dangerous. Amen. That's dangerous. You get too much liberty. Amen. Sometimes you just cut up too much, I guess. But man alive, I've enjoyed it. I'm scared to go home. I'm just glad to be here. Amen. Well, I might as well preach. I'm here, I guess. Amen. Oh, yeah, y'all are in Psalm 96, ain't you? Amen. I tell you what, let's stand together tonight. Let's honor the reading of the Word of God. Let's honor the Word tonight. Y'all mind if we just read the whole chapter? Somebody say, I'm glad it ain't Psalm 119. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Amen. Declare His glory among the heathen and His wonders among all the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. For He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nation are idols. But the Lord hath made, the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord. O you kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord. The glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that there is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us for just a moment. Lord, I do ask that You bless the reading of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You touch our hearts, touch our mind, touch our mouth. And God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'd fill us from on high. Give us that unction, that touch that we stand in need of tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to us, speak through us. And Lord, I do ask You, Lord, that You'd use me as Your vessel and the instrument to relay the sound that You have for Your people. We'd be mighty grateful for it. We thank You and we ask You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. May be seated. No doubt tonight, a place that is found in the Psalms, a place that is found where the psalmist is rejoicing and worshiping and praising the Lord. We find in our Psalms chapter after chapter, it seems like there'll be chapters of prayer, chapters of praise, chapter of prayer again, chapter of praise again, and you'll find chapters of sorrow and chapters of hurt and chapters of pain. But it seems like before you go very far, the cycle runs right back through and it's another chapter of praise where the praise has came from the prayer, that the prayer came from the hurt, and the prayer came from the petition. And can I say tonight, I believe, I don't like like to try to necessarily preach a life application or a doctrine out of Psalms. By no means. But what I have found, Brother Rochester, is this, that reminds me a whole lot about my own life. It seems like it begins somewhere with a petition, somewhere with a burden down inside. And that petition turns into a prayer. Amen. I begin to bring it to God and ask Him about it. Sometimes it just seems like I pray for a couple days, maybe one, maybe two, sometimes months. Sometimes I've prayed about certain things for years. But it always goes back to a praise. And before I know it, we're right back in the altar praying again. But tonight, in Psalm 96, our psalmist has absolutely opened up a good old-fashioned camp meeting service right in the middle of the Word of God. And he said, "Oh, sing unto the Lord." I don't know if he's by himself or not, but it don't sound like he is. Amen. It sounds like he's having a meeting and he's trying to do a little exhortation right here. It sounds like he's trying to get somebody fired up. Amen. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Woo, hallelujah. This man, I like them preachers that just preach at everybody. He just called out the whole world. Amen. And who's supposed to sing? He said the whole earth, for greatly is he to be praised. Amen. I like what the psalmist has done in his writing tonight. He said, "Oh, sing unto the Lord." And then we find down in verse number 7, where he says, "And give unto the Lord." Then you find in verse number 8 again, "Give unto the Lord." And then verse number 9, "Oh, worship the Lord." You could preach those just simple three thoughts right there in Psalm 96. And then in verse number 13, "He comes before the Lord." Amen. You could preach those simple thoughts tonight, how we ought to sing unto the Lord, how we ought to give unto the Lord, how we ought to worship the Lord, and how we ought to always live before the Lord. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, He is worthy for us to worship Him. He is worthy for us to give something to Him. He is worthy for us to walk before Him tonight. He is worthy of our song. But tonight, I don't want to just look at those four little things, but I want to look more into verse number 7 and verse number 1 and verse number 4. The Bible said, "Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." And then in verse number 4, the Bible said, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised." Then in verse number 7, "Give unto the Lord." It seems like the psalmist is trying to really narrow some things down. It seems as he is trying to remind us what God has done. I don't know about you, but the Lord's done a whole lot for me. I don't know about you, but the Lord's blessed me a whole lot. I don't know about y'all, but He's far better than me than what I deserve. I don't know about y'all, but if it was supposed to be that God only did as much for me as what I've done for Him, He's way outdoing Himself tonight. Amen. He's way better to me than I am to Him. And He's done more for me than I've done for Him. And if we're trying to play even par, honey, I'm losing awful bad tonight. Amen. Because tonight God has been good to me. I cannot stand and say that I've done everything that I've ever told Him that I do. But tonight I can stand and say that He's done everything that He said He would do. I can't stand tonight and say that I've always been faithful unto God. But honey, I can stand tonight and say that God has always been faithful unto me. I can't say that every time He's asked or He sent me to go, that I've always been faithful to go my way or to go where He's called me to go. But every time I've called unto the Lord, honey, He's inclined His ear unto me, and He's heard my prayer. I'm trying to let you know God has been good tonight. Hallelujah. I love the old song we grew up singing. There's a roof up above me. I have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You said, "Brother Jared, did you come to preach a sermon on thankfulness right in the middle of our revival?" I'm glad you asked. Yes, I sure did. Amen. You know why we don't have revival? Because we don't have have a heart of thankfulness. You know why God don't want to move? Because he's unwanted. You know why the churches are dead and dry? Because the churches are dead and dry. But what we need is a revival of a thankful heart. Amen. You might ought to just look around tonight and say, glory, look at what's beside me. Look at my children. Look at my husband. Look at my wife. Look at this fine place God's given us. Look at the nice church. Look at the nice people. Look at the nice pews. Look at the nice altars. Look at the instruments. Amen. Look at what all God's done around this place. Honey, you better get back to the simple things of life. Amen. And just thank him for what he's done. Amen. Thank him for the air that's pumping through your lungs. Thank him for the blood that's flowing through your body. Thank him for the hair on your head. And if you ain't got none, I'm coming to join you. And I'm still going to thank him anyhow. Amen. Because God is worthy of our praise tonight. And you say, well, Brother Jared, I ain't got my youngins beside me, and I ain't got no husband, I ain't got no wife sitting beside me tonight. You may not, and I may not understand what all's going on right now in your life. You may not even understand yourself. But I guarantee you one thing, God still deserves a heart of thankfulness tonight. Amen. The Word of God said, in everything give thanks. He didn't say for everything. Amen. He didn't say for your dark cloud. He didn't say for your trial. He didn't say for your persecution. But he just said, while you got the dark cloud over you, continue to thank me. While you're walking through your valley, continue to thank me. For me. You say, Brother Jared, I can't find nothing to thank God for. Amen. I promise you this, if you'll go back to Calvary, if you'll go back to the place where it was that you called on the name of Jesus and he saved your soul, washed your sins away, amen, wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, honey, you'll be found thankful. If you'll be thankful for Calvary, and if you'll just get thankful at Calvary, honey, he'll start reminding you of other things to be thankful for. Amen. He'll start reminding you of his mercy. He'll start reminding you of his grace. He'll start reminding you of his long suffering. Amen. You say, what are you saying, Brother Jared? He's worthy of our praise. Well, I look at what the psalmist is writing this evening, and I feel like he's trying to give us a little message. And I just want to jump in with him and maybe say over what he said to us. Declare, sing, give, worship. It sounds like he's trying to tell us we need to be doing some things. Sounds like we have some obligations of what we ought to be doing. Sounds like we have a job that we ought to do for the Lord. And you say, Brother Jared, I can't do nothing for him. I'm too old, I'm too feeble, I'm too young, I ain't smart enough, or I'm too smart. Maybe you are like that in here. I don't know. We are in Packlet, South Carolina. Amen. Where all the high, snooty, falooty, and smart people live. Amen. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you do, who you are, anything, but I know this. You still got to do something for him. Can I change what I just said? You ought to do something for him. There ought to be it. I'm just going to go ahead and go all the way out. Since we are, if it was camp meeting, I'd keep this a sugar stick message. Y'all know what I'm saying? But since it's a revival, we're going to preach about it for a moment. Amen. If you're saved, born again, and on your way to heaven, honey, there ought to be a desire down in your heart to do something for him. I've seen plenty of Christians. I grew up a pastor's kid, amen, and they sat on their church pew in their spot that they sat in for 40 years of their life, and they sang, I shall not be moved every service. And they wasn't talking about taking a stand for Jesus. They was talking about never not doing nothing. Amen. They was talking about just punching their clock in. Amen. Every time the doors was open, they was there, but they wasn't going to do nothing for God. And I tell you something tonight, when I look around, I say, what all God's done for me, I've just got to do something. I've got to do something for him. I want to preach on this thought tonight just for a moment. I owe him something. I owe him. Anybody ever done anything for you? I mean, just absolutely set you back, took you by surprise. You couldn't believe. I've had people give my family stuff, do nice things for me. And I looked at them as they're handing me a gift or whatever they'd done for us. And I said, there ain't no way I could ever repay you. And they said, I didn't come with intentions for being repaid. I didn't do what I've done with a policy on the end hanging on to it that says because of what I did, spend the rest of your life doing something back for me. And can I tell you, child of God, I found nowhere in the scriptures that when Jesus saved our souls that he said the only stipulation is that you've got to do something for me the rest of your life. I never found where God said, now if you don't equally pay back my son, that I'll take away your salvation, that I'll have to put you back in the damned walls of hell. Honey, but what I have found is this. We serve a God that's just been so good. No stipulations, no strings attached. And the more that I'm finding out about how good God is, the more it just makes me want to try to do something to pay him back. You know what's amazing? I'm finding out while I'm trying to pay him back, I can't pay him back. Woo, glory, hallelujah. The more that I'm trying, the more I realize I'm failing. Amen. Amen. It don't matter how many miles I put on my vehicle, I ain't going to pay him back. It don't matter how many meetings a year I preach, I ain't going to pay him back. It don't matter how many other people get saved, amen, from my preaching, or how many people get help from my saying, I ain't going to pay him back. It's not going to break even. It's not even going to come close. But honey, I've just made up my mind that, Lord, I may not can break even. I may not can do something that adds up to what you've done, but I just want you to know I sure am thankful. So even though I can't pay you back, I'm just going to spend the rest of my life trying. I'm just going to give you my everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number one, what's the first thing I can give back to him? What's the first thing that I can give to God if I owe him something? Well, I think the first thing I'm going to give him tonight's my song. Oh, sing unto the Lord. A new song, sing unto the Lord, all the earth. And he's not even done. He keeps on going in verse number 2. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. When I read Psalm 96, my mind automatically goes to Psalm 136. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, here come the children of Israel. They're walking in a place that they never walked before. They're living in a place that they never lived before. And all of a sudden, they are asked if they can sing a little song. And they look around and they say, well, if we was back in Israel, we could sing. Well, if we was back in our church, we could sing, but we just not comfortable singing here. If we was back around our friends, we might could sing a little song. If we was around our family members, we might have something to say. But they looked around and they wasn't in the comforts of Israel. They was not in the comforts of their own church. But they looked around and they was, honey, living in Babylon for a moment. And they said something like this, how shall we sing our song in a strange land? And all of a sudden, Satan begins to win. He begins to see their mouths shut. He sees the testimonies closing. He sees somebody that should have been saying something, not saying nothing at all. And nobody sang their song because they didn't like where they was. And the scripture said, they hung their harps up. Ain't that sad? Not only would they not even sing, they wouldn't even play. They wouldn't even hum. They wouldn't even whistle Dixie. Somebody say amen. They wouldn't even do nothing for the Lord. We don't feel comfortable singing here. No, not here. I just don't think that'd be a good idea. You ever seen people? They was asked to do something, and I just don't know. I used to sing when I was a little. I used to do that when I was a kid, but it's been a long time since I've done that for the Lord. I just don't know if I can do it anymore. I'm just not sure about all that. I just, if we was back there, then we would do it like we used to do it. But the problem was, is they were saying, sing a new song. say, I'm just not familiar. I just don't know. I'm just not going to. I'm going to keep my song. See, it wasn't their song. That was God's song. And they wasn't keeping their song. They was keeping God's song from God. And when we keep our service to ourselves, we're not keeping our service to ourselves. We are keeping our service from God. You're not sitting there holding your song in your lap saying, well, I'll just save it for another time. You are refusing for God to use one of His things to bless others. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 96? Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day, and declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. I like singing. I love it, Brother Michael. And I wish I had more voice. Y'all pray for me. I come out of Louisiana the other day, and I don't know what happened. I think they had pollen or something going on down there, and I couldn't hardly talk by the time I left there. And I finally got a little bit back, and that didn't last very long from this morning. Amen. It's y'all's fault. Y'all kept in it. Amen and me too good. Y'all know how to hurt a man around here. Amen. But I love singing. Matter of fact, I like it so much, I might just encourage it every now and then. I like it when a good choir singing. Amen. I like it when they just rear back and let it rip. If you're into the opera style singing, God bless your heart. I'm not. Are y'all familiar with the letter fly style of singing around here? Open your mouth and let it fly. Amen. Amen. Just rear back and give it all you. And I seen some up there a while ago. Y'all was a rearing back. And you know when the choir's singing real good when they turn three different colors while they're singing. Amen. 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 You turn from your normal color, then you turn to a darker color, and then you turn to a plum apple red color. Amen. And that's when you know you're giving it your everything. That's why I want it to be right there. Amen. Don't hold nothing back. Amen. In the choir. Now I see a choir get to singing. I like seeing youth choirs get to singing. Amen. I see some boys start lifting up their hands. I'll see some teenage girls start weeping some tears. Amen. I will absolutely take, even if it's my old handkerchief, I'll unfold it. Amen. I'll just have to take the chance. Amen. And I'll start waving it at them because I believe when they start worshiping God, business starts picking up. Amen. I believe when they start singing and their hearts become thankful and they start giving praise and honor and glory that is due unto His name. Amen. That they can do more in their worship than any man can. Can preach it, amen, than any man can teach it. You say, why do you encourage it, Brother Jared? Because when our hearts open up in thankfulness, that's when God wants to do some things for us. I'm a new daddy. Both of these, you got any more, just these two? Whew, amen. I got two girls. We ought to trade for a couple days, see how that goes. I've been wanting a boy. You might want a girl. I don't know. We'll just swap and then we'll decide later. I don't know. You get my youngest one, you won't want no daughter. I promise you. Amen. Got two little 4-year-old Ella, and then Isley's the little one. She'll be 2 in May. And I remember, man, I was 17, 18. My sister started having kids. And if you're sitting in here, and your siblings had kids before you did, and you watched them not raise their youngins the way you would raise your youngins, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I ain't gonna let my kids do that. Well, wait till mine try that. I'll fix that quick, fast, and in a hurry. You know? And then I had my own kids, and I was like, oh gosh, I don't know what I'm doing. Had to eat a lot of crow. Can I get an amen right there? I remember the first time I ever walked in the house, and instead of it being nice, beautiful paint on my wall, someone had took a permanent marker and decided to draw the Lord only knows what. Allah, she's everywhere. And when you walk in, ain't it pretty? God, why? walk in, you hear, wow, sound like a Batman movie playing in there. All the sound effects, lampshades falling over, kids hanging from a ceiling fan. Couches broken because we jumping up and down on the couch all day. I mean, my youngins, maybe it's just my youngins, I don't know, but I hope it's y'all's too. Amen, so you know what I'm talking about. They was good at messing everything up. Just messed it all up. Didn't matter what it was, they was going to mess it up. They was going to break it. They was going to tear it up. And I'd be so mad and be breathing fire. My eyes would be red and bloodshot, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord Jesus, they just might as well go ahead and call the officer right now because it's going to be bad. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Lord, if I think about getting a hold of that child, it's just going to be awful. But you know what I found, Brother Rochester? We get through that little moment every night before we turn that light off. I'd always say, hey, baby, come here. Come here, Ella. Come here, Isley. I'd say, just love on Daddy for a minute. Do you love Daddy? Yes, sir, I do. Daddy loves you. You love me more than Mama, don't you? y'all know how we do. Who loves you most? Ella's figured it out. She says, Daddy. And I said, yeah. She said, and Mama. I'm like, no. It don't matter how bad, they just make me want to pull my hair out, and I ain't got much to pull left. Before it's all said and done with, all I want at the end of the night is to show them how much I love them. Spiritually speaking, I ain't that old, and I've messed a whole lot of things up. I'm still a child, I feel like, sometimes, running around God's house, and I'm knocking over his lampshades, and sometimes I come in, and I'm coloring on his walls, and boy, when he sees the mess that I've made, sometimes he's probably thinking, dear time, what am I going to do with a youngin' like that? I thought you'd done learned your lesson by now, and he might have to get on to me every now and then, might have to correct the mistakes that I've done, might have to show me not how to do that again, but honey, before it's all said and done with, before we turn the lights back out and go to our tomorrow, the Holy Ghost of God says, come here. I want to talk to you for a moment. Do you know how much I love you? Do you know how much I'm glad you're mine? Amen. Do you love me as much as do you know how much I love you? And it don't matter if you tear the walls down, I'm still going to love you. You say, why do you sing your song? Because he loves me tonight. And I love him because he first loved me. Woo! I owe him my song. It might not sound pretty. It might not all be in tune. It might not all be the right moves and the right thrills. And it might not sound the best on the piano or on the guitar. But honey, I ain't doing it for nobody else. And you ought not be doing it for nobody else but for one. Amen. If they don't like it, just close your eyes and say, God, my song is for you. Amen. We owe him our song tonight. Not only do we owe him our song, but secondly, notice this. Declare his glory. Amen. Greatly to be praised. Watch out. Now, if it would have just said the Lord is great and is to be praised. Now, I know what praise means. I have a feeling y'all know what praise means. I know what kind of caliber of a Christian and what kind of preacher Brother Michael is. And I'm just getting to think that he's probably told y'all about this word called praise. It gets loud sometimes. Amen. Sometimes it's very noticeable. It looks like this. And it sounds like, whoop, glory, hallelujah, that. And you might get the word praise lined up with somewhere like, amen, preacher. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all familiar with the word praise. Now, y'all saved me a 15-minute Sunday school lesson. Y'all better be glad you said amen. If it would have just said, for the Lord is great and is to be praised, then I might edge. I mean, just every now and then, let's not get carried away. Amen. Because the only said is to be praised, so I'm just not. Sounds good to me, preacher. You just keep on preaching. But the psalmist threw a word in there. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. You better watch out, because this is where you're going to make all the Baptists mad right here. Oh, that's them ones that when they say, turn to page number 57, singing Amazing Grace, they say, woo, glory, that's my favorite. We didn't even sing a verse of Amazing Grace, and they're already shouting, look at them go. We ain't even been in the service for 5 minutes, and they're already in the altar praying. I can't believe them. Lord have mercy, the preacher's trying to talk about revival and he can't even give the details about the revival, because that fella's so excited he won't quit shouting amen. Keep on shouting amen. Keep on getting in the altar. Keep on raising your hand. Amen. We don't serve a God that is just to even be praised. But the psalmist greatly, give it your all. Give him your everything with a loud voice. And praise him. And if you got to, run a lap and praise him. But he's greatly to be praised. I owe him my song, but I owe him my shout. Can I go ahead and just be honest with you? Baptists are getting a little too scared for me about praiseship in the Lord. Honey, I remember when I was growing up, my daddy, he worked at a steel plant. I'm trying to figure out who I need to be preaching to, because you got to be careful when you preach this way sometimes. I feel like I'm safe right here. Y'all are safe to preach to. Brother, you're safe to preach to. This whole row is safe. I ain't going to look at nobody else because I don't want to make nobody upset. Huh? My daddy, he worked. Y'all don't look at me now while I'm preaching this. That's right here. Brother, I know you're safe over there. So if I look your way, I hope nobody around you thinks that I'm looking at them when I say this, okay? It's just us, a very collective group. He took off work. We was loading up our family vehicle. We was heading to the mountains of Tennessee. We was going to North Carolina, South Carolina, North Georgia, Alabama. You say, where was he taking you? He was taking us anywhere he could get us where God was going to be at. I'm sorry, but it's just the way that I grew up. Amen. We'd get in them old-fashioned camp meetings, and it wouldn't be very long. They'd be singing a good song here and there, and a preacher would raise up his hand. He'd stand up and start shouting a little while. Amen. I've been in some services, honey. They'd probably make half the Baptists I know today just absolutely terrified to even be called a Baptist. They think it was the P word. Y'all know I'm a Pentecostal. Woo! No, he didn't. Yes, he did. Amen. Oh, I've seen it before. God get to moving in there. Them old grandmothers, they'd stand up and they'd shout. Amen. And they'd shout and they'd shout. I've seen them where they look like they could hardly walk. Amen. And walk into a service and let God get to moving. Honey, they'd jump up and down. They'd start swinging them hands back and forth. And they'd shout all over the church. Oh, Brother Paul Cornett used to lift up his hands before God. And he'd say, holy, 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 holy. Oh, I've seen them mountain preachers stand up and they'd lean over those pulpits, still sweat absolutely dripped off the end of their tie, and they'd beg a sinner not to leave the way that they came, and I'd watch as God would save them and change them, and the whole church would erupt, and they'd worship and they'd shout and give God glory for what he'd done. I ain't saying that you gotta run. I ain't saying that you gotta just act in a way that you ain't never acted before. I ain't saying that you gotta jump up and down like them old grandmas used to. But what I am saying is this tonight. Amen. Somebody like him, as good as he is to somebody like me, deserves a thank you, Lord, every now and then. We ought not be here tonight. We all ought to be in hell. But by the grace of God, he saved us. He's got us in his clothes and in our right mind. And here we are tonight. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of my shout. He's worthy. Not just my song, not just my shout, but he's worthy of my service. Verse number 7, give unto the Lord. O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Look at this. I preached all that to get to this one verse. Can you believe that?
Amen.
Give unto the Lord the glory that is due.
Amen.
Unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. I'll never forget me and Jennifer. We had just gotten married. You talk about life being good. I mean, come home and have a beautiful wife. And I mean, you're just like, wow, this is real. Oh, not to mention that we lived in a rat-infested old shotgun-built house with cracks in the walls that wide. Amen. And it was amazing. We was loving it, about froze, slapped to death. We didn't have no heater nor air. We had a potbelly stove. I'm too young to be preaching like that, ain't I? Amen. But honey, that's how we started. We started with a potbelly, but it was three rooms over, so we had to put a box fan, one in front of it to pull the heat, and one behind it to push the heat back into our bedroom. First year we was married, snowed 6.5 inches outside, amen, and I'm talking about we was freezing to death. Had that fire glowing hot, amen. Had 5 quartz heaters in our bedroom just trying to trip a breaker. Amen. We was doing whatever we could, living in long johns. Amen. Sleeping with about 5 different comforters on top of the bed. We was trying to make it.
Amen.
And we were so happy. We was excited. We didn't know it was supposed to be worse or better. We was just glad to have it. I mean, this is all just, I mean, right at the very beginning. I'll never forget one day, opened up the mailbox and looked inside, and that on top of the letterhead there it said Little River Electrical Power Company, and it had my name on it. I said, well, how did they know we got married? I thought, you know, when you first get married, you get letters in the mail. You know what I'm talking about? You looking for them $20 bills to be coming in the mail. Now, I seen that Little River was sending us a congratulations on your wedding. That ain't what it was. I opened up that thing. A sheet of paper fell out of there, and they had all these fancy letters and numbers beside each other, and there was different meanings for different things. And it said water, and it said pump house, and it said electric. Point of it is, down at the bottom right hand corner in a little green highlighted section, it said do. And then it had a number that I wasn't real familiar with. It was like 3 numbers in the dot and then 2 more numbers. I'm like, whoa. What happened to them $20 bills that we was getting in the mail?
Amen.
We wasn't getting money in the mail because it was newlyweds. But Little River was saying, hey, congratulations on your wedding and stuff, but if y'all want to keep that light bill on, if y'all want to keep that light on, if y'all want to keep that water running, you better be sending us some of it now. And for the first time, my life was turned upside down. And you know what I did? I called my daddy. I said, Dad, you ain't going to believe this. I forgot. I was one of them that believed I'm just going to stay home with mom and daddy until I get married. Can I get a witness right there? I couldn't figure out why guys wanted to move out on their own. Go pay for a place to sleep. Go pay for food to eat when they had a perfectly good place in the back of mom and daddy's house. And mama's cooking supper every night. Why would you want to go live on ramen noodles? I wish somebody would try to explain that to me, because I didn't figure it out. So my first power bill was me and Jennifer got married. That was my first. It's like I said, Dad, you ain't gonna believe. I said I was checking the mailbox because them letters have been coming in. Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Jared Dixon. So happy for you. Here's a Andrew Jackson for you to help you along the way. Whoop, glory, hallelujah. I said, but I opened up the box today and Little River come calling. And you know what my daddy did? He laughed. Just like y'all just did. I said, why do you think that's funny? He said, son, did you think they handed that stuff out for free? Do you think that they wasn't going to send you one of them? And he said something like this, welcome to the real world. Is there any young married couples in here tonight? I mean, you just a couple years into it and you're still trying to figure it out. I mean, it's terrible. Me and Jennifer, we like to phrase it like this. We don't like adulting. Yeah. Remember the old song Toy Story used to play on commercials? I don't want to grow up. I just want to be a kid. That's my theme song of life. Man, we paid that bill, brother. Had to. They was going to come turn it off. Went on the road, come back, looked in there. I was looking for another one of them letters, you know, the good ones, the Andrew Jackson ones, $20 bill ones to help us in our newlywed stage of life. I looked in there and there wasn't no $20 bills. There wasn't no $100. There wasn't no $50 bills. There wasn't no kind of bills except for one, and it was from Little River Electrical Power Company. And they come calling again. 4 weeks had went by, and I had used their power, and I had used their water. And for what they had given me, now it was time for me to give something to them. And then we squared up on that one, and then some more time went by, and then some more Christmas came. And boy, I'm talking about we was shopping, we was buying this gift. I got 27 and a half nieces and nephews. I'm talking at Christmas time is chaotic around our house. She had brother and sister, and she got all her family, and I got all my family. And something happened in the midst of all the Thanksgiving and the Christmas time. And somewhere around January, I'm just bebopping my little self down the driveway, walk over to that box. And I flipped it open. We've almost been married a year at this point. Surely they ain't going to be sending them more letters. You know, nobody's going to be sending them bills anymore. But there was one bill still in the mailbox. Little River Electrical Power Company. And I pulled it out and I seen something sitting in there. And I said, oh, Lord. I wonder if somebody knew we'd been married almost a year, you know, this summer. And they wanted to give us a little Christmas gift. So I reached back in there, brother, and I pulled something out.
Yes, sir.
I said, oh, here it comes. God's about to be a blessing. And I looked on top of that little old envelope, and guess what it said? Little River. Yeah. Electric Power Company. And I thought, why did they send two? Maybe one's a refund. I tell y'all, I did not understand this whole power bill thing. I opened one of them up and it said due. And I thought, well, they've been doing that once a month anyways. Well, I wonder what this other one's about. And I opened it up. And I told y'all, Thanksgiving and Christmas, it was chaotic. We had to drive down to South Georgia, back to South Carolina for Thanksgiving, down to Georgia and back to South Carolina for Christmas. And we was down there for New Year's. And somewhere in the middle of it all, I forgot to pay the bill. When I opened up that second letter, it didn't say due. It said past due. I get my phone back out. I said, Dad, you ain't going to believe it. And you know you pastor a church. You need to come up off of some of that money and send that down my way and help me with this power bill. Lord, you've been helping people with power bills all my life. It's time to help me, Dad. And guess what he did? He laughed. You know what I realized? They was very kind and they kept my power on when they could have turned it off. But they reminded me that they had still done something for me back there.
That's right.
And I still owed them for it.
That's good.
And after I get through owing for that one, yeah, we got to catch up with this one too. And don't get too excited, but next month, we're going to send another one back to you. And then the next month, and you know what I found out? They don't like it when I pay them one time a year. Yeah. But you know what I see a whole lot of Christians doing? Maybe once a year.
Man.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, we had revival this year, and it was so good. There's one night, and you just feel the sweet Spirit of God moving. I'm about tired of it.
Amen.
If Little River's going to get me at least once a month, I think at least once a day, God ought to get my attention. All they putting is lights in my house and water in my faucet and in my sink. Amen. Let me wash clothes and let me be able to walk around and watch Bonanza every day. Somebody say amen to that. But God is keeping me alive right now. God's commanding my heart to breathe. God's commanding my mind to work. God allowed me to marry the woman that I married, have the children that I had. Amen. God allowed me to have the career that He's given me, the ministry that He's given me. God allowed you to be here tonight. God gave you that husband, ma'am. God gave you that wife, sir. God gave you those children, mom and daddy. God gave you everything that you've ever got in this life. It's all because of God. And great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Somebody ought to give the glory that is due unto His name. Due unto His name. I wonder tonight, if we check our mailbox, what we'll find. I'm going to find some due bills in there. I wonder if maybe we might find some past due amounts that we owe. Brother Jared, I don't know what I told you before. Can I tell you again? Just come thanking that you're saved.
Amen.
And said, Brother Jared, I don't need revival. Just come thanking that your church is having one anyhow.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank the Lord that your preacher still has a desire for not just one to have it, but for the rest of them to have it. Amen. Say, Brother Jared, would a heart of thankfulness really help me in my revival? I believe it will. I'm reminded of that leper. Still thought about him today. Wanted to go, but the preacher asked me, he said, you going to finish it tonight? I said, I don't know. But I thought about him today. Those 10 that came to Jesus that day. The Bible said that all 10 of them was cleansed. But one turned back. And he glorified the Lord with a loud voice. The Bible said that he worshipped Him. He fell on his face at his feet and worshipped Him. And the scripture said, thy faith hath made thee whole. They was all cleansed. They all got the salvation. But when that one came back with a thankful heart, you say, what did made whole mean? The best and the fastest way to put it that I know how, for the sake of time, is when he come up off that prayer, you would have never known he was a leper to begin with. Whoa! Everything that the leprosy had stole from him, God was giving it back. Everything that disease had ruined in his life, God was restored. That word whole, it's our word restoration. It's the restoring word. And God was putting it all back. When we become thankful, when we fall at His feet, when we walk back with praise, when we fall down with worship, God begins to give us things back.
Amen.
Satan has stolen from us.
Yes.
We're standing all around the church tonight. I wonder how many would come and say, Lord, help me to have a heart of thankfulness. Lord, at the beginning of this revival, the first thing I want to be is thankful. I can't repay Him. I can't meet the standard. I can't come equal to what He's done for me. But I want to give Him my everything. I'm just going to give Him my song, if nothing else. I'll give Him my shout, if nothing. I'll give Him my service. And if I can't give Him nothing, I'll be like the prophet. I'll say, here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll just give Him me. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we love You and we thank You for what You've done. Lord, and not just for what You've done. And the scripture said, give unto the Lord the glory, do unto His name. Lord, we thank You for just who You are. Lord, if You never do anything for us again, You're still worthy of our praise. You're still worthy of our song and our shout and our service. Lord, not because of what You do or what You don't do, but Lord, simply because who You are, just God. We thank you. We bless your name. I pray, Lord, for this church tonight. Lord, I've enjoyed being here so much. Lord, the liberty to preach, Lord, has been great. The acceptance has been wonderful. Lord, I pray that everything that's been said and done has been pleasing unto you. Lord, I pray this, Lord, that you'll give them a heart of thankfulness. That they'll be thankful, Lord, because I know this. Lord, when my children are thankful, Lord, it just swells my heart so much. I want to do more and I want to give them more. Lord, when our Father receives thankfulness, He wants to bless more. He wants to do more. We love you. We thank you. Many's came. Many's still here. I wonder how many others just need to come tonight. Maybe you want to just grab your family and say, you know what? We just need to, as a family, say thank you, Lord. Maybe you want to grab your husband or grab your wife and you just want to come say thank you, Lord. Maybe, listen to me, maybe right now you're in a hard place. You say, Brother Jerry, that was all good and well and fine. But the place that I'm living right now, it's a tough one and it's hard to be thankful. I've been in those places. When I said, Lord, I don't know how to thank you. When this is happening, when that's going on, when so-and-so's this and that's acting like that. Lord, I don't know how to be thankful in the dark times. But I promise you one thing. If you'll try, you'll find out that there are so much more sweet moments of thankfulness in the dark times than on the mountain. The valley, the grass is much sweeter in the low places than it is high up on the Rocky Mountains. That water's way better down there in the valley, running gently through the stream, than it is gushing out of the mountainside. You can't get a hold of it when it's gushing out of the mountain. But when it starts to gently flow down in the spring, down in the valley, that's when God can restore your soul, when you become thankful. Many of you's come, but I wonder tonight, let's bow our heads together. No one's looking around. How many would say, Brother Jerry, pray for me? I want a heart of thankfulness, but it's hard right now. I'm not asking where you are. I'm not going to ask you your business. I hope you know that. I just want to pray for you because I understand and been in them places where it's hard to be thankful when it's hurtful. It's hard to say thank you when you're asking why. It's hard to say bless your name when everybody else has blessed you out. It's hard to be faithful when everyone else has forgotten. You've lifted it up again. Brother Jerry, just pray for me. It's hard, but I want to be. I want to be. Slip it up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can I tell you something? Can I preach to these that have lifted their hand? Pastor, is it okay? We need to go. We'll go. If you won't be thankful in that hard time, not only will you lose your thankfulness, but your thankfulness turns into bitterness. And I don't know what the case is, but I know it. I've seen it. I've been there and I've done it. When I should have been saying, Lord, thank you. Not only was I upset and was I mad at my situation, but I started getting upset and mad at God. But if I'd have just been thankful to begin with, even in the hard times, God would have gave me a heart of joy. Through that valley. There ain't nobody looking around. Nobody's looking around. You lifted your hand. Why don't you come tell him, Lord, give me that heart of thankfulness. I don't want to leave with a heart of hurt. But I want to leave with a heart of help. And I want to leave with joy in my heart. Don't let Satan get you down like he's been getting you down. Don't let Satan take that joy like he's been taking it. Don't let him take those things that belong to God. But the longer that you hold that song and that shout and that praise and that service, honey, the easier it is to hold it, the easier it is to become complacent. But tonight, say, Lord, I want that thankfulness to be back in my heart, flowing out of my heart, flowing out of my mouth. And into the heart and into the ears of God. Father, I pray for these that have lifted their hand. I told them I'd pray for them. And Lord, I want to. Lord, they're special. Lord, we thank you for them. I don't know where they are. I don't know what it is that they're going through, and it doesn't matter. God, Lord, a hurt is a hurt. A pain is a pain. A trial is a trial. And Lord, it may be real dark where they are. Lord, and it's hard for them to lift their hand and say thank you. But tonight, I've done seen the ones that said it's hard. I've done seen them lift that hand up. And Lord, with a heart of faith, say, but I'm going to praise him anyhow. I'm going to thank him anyhow. Lord, I pray that this week that God, the preaching will stir their heart, stir their soul, and Lord, keep them on fire even in the midst of their trial. And Lord, they continue to live with a heart of thankfulness. Because Lord, I owe you something. I just want to give you whatever I can. You're worthy of it. I bless your name and I thank you in Jesus' name.